This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Here's a little factoid about Winston-Salem that you might not know. The first arts council in the country was established there in 1949. Since then, the City of Arts has been dedicated to supporting fine arts, arts education, and theater. That support has helped create and keep the National Black Theater Festival in Winston-Salem for the last 22 years. The biennial event brings African-American theater companies from across the country to the Triad for a week of performances, workshops, and creative collaboration. And the event attracts thousands of theater lovers to Winston-Salem. This year, the National Black Theater Festival continues its tradition of celebrating African-American performance. It kicks off next week, and I'm pleased to welcome the festival's artistic director, Mabel Robinson, to the show to tell us more about it. Mabel, welcome back to the State of Things. Good to talk with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You have been with the National Black Theater Festival since its inception back in 1989. What's the impetus behind starting this festival?
I think that Larry Leon Hamlin, who was the founder of the festival, realized that things were kind of raw and going through a really disheveled period with black theater. So he said, I want to do a festival. And we said, well, why not? And we'll support people like Maya Angelou, as well as other influential people in the black theater. Got together. He wrote to over 100 theater companies and found out that they responded, that everybody was going through this depressed kind of period of non-support financially. Doors were closing, our voices weren't allowed to be spread. And since he got such a reaction, over 50 people, he felt this is a good beginning. And the main thing was to get black artists, black theater companies back together, put their voices strong, making sure that they had a voice in the future and that would be able to continue telling our stories, et cetera, and to expose our young audiences as well as community audiences to all the beautiful creative work that black theater is, the black companies are doing around the world.
When you think about it, live theater is essentially local in each of those communities if they were having a problem, you know, with the problem was support in those communities. What does it do? How does it help to bring those companies together in a different place and all meet and all be together so that when they go back, they're stronger? How does that work?
It works. First thing, it's inspiring. It gives you a feeling of support. When you're networking with other people that are going through problems that you have, as well as can offer you an opportunity to present yourself and for other producers and directors and artists to see you and for you them to see your new works or to see the old classics, it's always inspiring and it gives you a sense of community. It gives you a feeling of strength when you get together and see all of the things that's going on and how each of us are trying to keep black theater alive.
And you mentioned Larry Leon Hamlin, who passed away in 2007. He's the founder and a charismatic force behind the National Black Theater Festival for so many years. Tell us a little bit about him.
Larry Leon, he is a fantastic actor and a fantastic producer, certainly, to be able to do so many festivals and so many companies in 1 week. He is a wonderful spokesman. He understands what needs to be done. He is determined to keep black theater alive. He has been a receiver of many awards, and from the White House, he's received the the National Medal of Arts and things of that nature. So he's been recognized all over. He's a North Carolinian. He was born in Reidsville, North Carolina. He went to Brown in Rhode Island University, and that's where he basically got his theatrical background. Came back to North Carolina because of family situations, an elderly brother that he was ill, so he had to be a support system. And he and his brother spoke, and he said, you should really do a theater in Winston-Salem. And he said, what? Okay.
And after that, he said yes, and it's been going for 22 years now, 20th anniversary back in 2009. Tell us, and you've been with the festival for that long, how have things changed over that time?
everything has grown. Everyone is more supportive. The community is more involved. We have thousands of volunteers. We are more outspread as far as we have a company coming in from South Africa this year, and Toronto, of course, the West Coast, New York, Chicago. The younger generation is more involved. We have more opportunities for the younger people here to see things, to present, come bring plays in, especially for them.
Is the theater, is the festival itself something we talked about? It's the National Black Theater Festival. If we're talking about black theater, is this by black artists for African-American audiences?
No. Black theater is for everyone. These are basically our stories. And we have interracial companies that will be performing, have stories that involve other people. As long as we are telling our stories and how it relates to other people, how it relates to whether we are black Americans or black Africans or black Cubans or whatever, how the stories come together. And our stories are universal, but we are just telling it from our perspective.
And you do. You mentioned you have companies now coming from South Africa and Canada this year, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And the festival draws tens of thousands of people every year to Winston-Salem. I think you're expecting, what, 60,000 this year?
Yes, we have 60,000 in the past and probably 65,000 this year, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, the community looks forward to it. It's a wonderful, it stimulates lots of monies, you know, in our community. It certainly enlightens our audiences, and people come in from different parts of the world and the country, and they are amazed when they come to Winston-Salem. They said that the people are so hospitable, and the environment is just so pleasant, and to have all of this theater, this creative energy in the midst with all this other stuff, good food and places to go, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling of celebration and support.
Give us a sense of what we're going to hear. In fact, we talked about the international companies. Tell us what we can expect from the South African troupe and the Canadian troupe.
South Africa, excuse me for not knowing her name. She is one of the top performers in South Africa, and she's doing a piece called Mother to Mother, a one-woman piece, a one-person piece, about the relationship between two mothers, white mother, black mother. The black son kills the white son, and how they get together and are able to exchange feelings and the understanding of each of their losses, and a problem solved basically on one-to-one. So like it can be done. If it's between just two people, then we try to make that happen between many peoples. And then we have a piece by Trey Anthony from Toronto, and it's called The Kink in My Hair, and it takes place in a Caribbean salon, hair salon in Toronto. And it reminds you, it's like a choreographed play, a choreo play, and it's kind of like, what's the name of the piece? Oh, anyway, it's six women, seven women that are involved, and we tell stories of how kinky hair has been laborsome for them. We tell funny stories about how they have to deal with things because of the way they look, et cetera. It's kind of like for colored girls, that kind of feeling, but humorous.
Sounds great. And what about North Carolina companies?
Our company, North Carolina Black Repertory Company, we are doing Four Queens, No Trump by Ted Lange, which is a hilarious piece that takes place in, it could be in any city, about four women that get together that are friends and they play cards every week, and they play a game called Bidwits, which is kind of a cultural game amongst black Americans. In college, you play it when you have a little time, and in between matinee and evening shows, you play during your lunch break. And it's how they got together and expressed the problems, their ups and downs, their loves and their lives and their secrets. and the problems that exist, but just hilarious. They are vivacious, they are boisterous, they are funny, and they have wonderful lives, and they talk about things that they couldn't talk about just generally. But behind this card game and laughter, they are able to expose and share many, many problems that are existing between them. And the biggest secret of all is the no Trump, who comes in the form of Jefferson.
Oh, wow. Well, it's called Four Queens, No Trump, and we happen to have a clip from that one. Let's listen.
Okay. All right.
Go, Joe. Welcome her to L.A. Take the damn book. Don't hold back, Joe. Take that card off your forehead and slam it, baby.
And you ever get the feeling that maybe Joe Sr. might have run into a brick wall?
That or she realizes that's the card that's going to take us where?
Boston.
Where'd you get that card? Your partner dealt it to me. Well, shoot, how lucky can you get?
Oh, there's six books right there.
Yeah, right, we know. Mm-hmm. Now you're collecting the books on your bid.
That's right.
My turn again, right?
Right.
Anybody got one of these?
Oh, obviously not higher than yours.
Oh, dang, Mom, ain't you got no backup?
Oh, hell, girl, I ain't seen you take a book.
Well, all that's about to change, because I could see that she can't make it.
Play, baby, play.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Got your black behind Trump, baby.
To the right. Now dip, baby, dip. That's how you play, partner.
Okay, I'm breaking up the partner, because Maude, I trump you. Now dip, baby, dip. That's how you play, partner.
That's a little clip from Four Queens, No Trump. You will see it next week at the National Black Theater Festival. And you talked about Jefferson being the surprise. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Jefferson is a white Texan, and he's a history teacher in a black high school. And he falls in love with one of the queens, and she falls in love with him, and she doesn't know how to tell her friends. And we don't know whether it's the telling of her friends or the fact that their histories, their past histories, and their families are in conflict, and whether she's being disloyal to her family by being with this man, or whether her friends will accept him, and how they solve their problems and come together and have a wonderful time. And guess what? He plays Bidwist with them. It's new to him, but he learns the game.
And tell us about that. That's an interesting game itself with quite a history, Bidwist, the card game they play.
It's a game that you can play partners or without partners. And it's some people play with a kitty, which is five cards in the center, which whoever gives the highest bid will be able to have those extra cards. You have a trump, which is a high card, whether it's hearts or clubs or whatever, and those are the powerful cards. And you have to make six books plus whatever you bid. So if you did a five, you have to make six books plus five.
But it's got a cultural history too. It actually comes from Great Britain. It's got quite a story in terms of how it even got to us and why we play this game. And the play itself, written by Ted Lang, who you mentioned, the lovable Love Boat bartender who wrote that play.
That's it.
And speaking of stars and other well-known names, Felicia Rashad, best known as Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show, is going to make an appearance at the event as well, right?
Yes, she will be here. And we have Lamar Rucker, who is, and Takiya Crystal Kimar. They are the chair people. We have Otero will be here, of course. And we have Count Stowall's coming, and James Reynolds, and Darian Wilson, Dawn Lewis.
You got an all-star cast. You've got quite a few people coming, a big bill. And one of the goals, I know, Mabel, is to bring in younger audiences, to keep this business and the prospect of theater alive for young people. Is there special programming for young people?
There are special programmings, and we have shows. As a matter of fact, Black Rep is doing By Black Hen by Audie Reese and Daryl Goodman. And it's a rap. It's done in rap. The style is rap. It tells the history, helps a young woman that's very angry because she doesn't experience black history in the books in school, in the history books at school, and how a trio like a Supremes, but they're not the Supremes, teaches her through song and movement and spoken word about the inventors, the famous inventors and musicians of the past that she didn't even know about, and for the audience too. And it's very educational, not only for the young people, but for the older people. We have something called Page in Full that deals with different problems that are in their age group, and it's done through, it's done with a hip-hop format as well. And there's one called I Still Love Her. That's kind of a love story that they, you know, of course the teens are always going through problems. And there's one for a younger group called,
it's bound to be good.
Storytelling.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on, and there's something for everyone, no matter what age, you know, whether you like drama or musicals or comedy or historical plays, whatever you want, there's
One of the ways that plays grow in popularity these days is if they're adapted to a film or TV. You know, you do a screen version of A Raisin in the Sun or for Colored Girls, and audiences do tend to then take notice, pay attention. But does it draw audiences back into the theater, or does it make them expect the theater to look more like a film?
Well, I don't, I think a lot of it has to do with the who's starring in the movies. You find that, we reach more people in television and the movie house, and it's sometimes more reasonable, and those are things that they're comfortable and is more accessible to them sometimes. But those stars that are in those movies have started, some of them have started in theater, and they come back, so they follow, the fans follow the stars. So that's one way it helps, but we hope that it remains an encouraging factor rather than taking away from live theater, because live theater is I think it's the ultimate, and we find that many of our television and stars are really lovers of and has begun in live theater.
And certainly Felicia Rashad is somebody who has made a great name for herself, but she's still back on the stage and loves it, and she's a great example of that.
Exactly.
Do you think this festival, Winston is a wonderful city? Would this festival do better by being in a larger metropolitan area, one with a larger Black population?
You know, I think that the beauty of it is that it is closer together, and we get all of city folk coming in and wanting to experience the environment. I think that sometimes if it's in a larger city, and it can work, it's just according to how you manage it, but sometimes it can lose its focus or the intimacy of it. I think it does very well in Winston-Salem, and it's not stopping. It's not like it's the city of the arts. It's easy to get to, and everyone loves coming here, so I think that factor is great, but I think that you can do that wherever you need to, according to how you develop it. But
coming there for 22 years, and I'm hoping at least 22 more. Mabel, thanks so much for talking with us.
I hope so, too. Oh, thank you for having me.
Mabel Robinson, Artistic Director of the National Black Theater Festival, begins next week in Winston-Salem, and you can get more information at nbtf.org. Coming up, Regatta 69 lead singer Brian Hill plays live in our studio and talks about reviving the sound of ska music. Stay tuned to The State of Things.
Upstairs we last stayed.